Blog Talk Radio.
On the oceans and upon our seas, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, me. Oh, things ain't what they used to do. Radiation underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are dying. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?
Welcome to the Black Think Tank Radio Network, care of the People's Party, the Panther Party, and this is On the Move with Brother Melvin Siri Jr. And tonight, well, let me start the show off by saying Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out here, stepfathers, grandfathers. Fathers, all us men out here who have children and who are involved in the life of their children. And I figured with today being Father's Day that I would talk to the men today, and I just wanted to talk, you know, kind of really open talk today, opinionated talk. I don't want to come across as a hypocrite, but I'm going to start off by just revealing some truths about myself. as well in this talk. You know, I don't want to come across as a hypocrite. Before I go into my topic tonight, which is going to be, like I say, just exclusively geared toward men, I really don't have a title. I just want to, like I say, have some open talk with the brothers tonight. That being said, I'll lay the criteria out for the show. If you would like to call in, the number to call in is 646-564-9948. Again, 646-564-9948. You can call that number to listen. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can press 1 to be entered into the queue and join into the conversation tonight. And I just ask if you call in and if you are going to be joining the conversation, that you would just be call. If you've got noise going on in the background, we would ask that you mute your phone so that you don't interrupt other people who are speaking. And we ask that while someone is speaking that you listen and wait for them to yield the mic before you start to speak. And with that being said, let me go into my talk. I mean, like I say, today is Father's Day, and you know, it is a day that is celebrated. You know, we have Mother's Day, we have Father's Day, and some mothers want to take credit for Father's Day as well, but that's a whole nother subject. I'll just start, like I say, with myself, you know, because I haven't always been where I'm at, you know. There have been times that I've been MIA and not really as involved as I should have been with my children. So, you know, I'm not exempt, but you live and you learn and you grow. And that's, you know, part of the process of being a man is you know, learning to make responsible choices and learning to make responsible decisions. You know, like I say, even myself, yeah, I've made mistakes in the past. I haven't always been where I'm at in life right now mentally. You know, we all have that syndrome that we think we're going to live forever when we're younger. You know, when we're in our 20s, we don't, you know, think about our 40s and our 50s. You know, we don't feel as if we'll ever grow old. And we live life, you know, as such. You know, we live it a little more carefree. You know, we don't make as sound of choices at that age that we should. And like I say, you know, a lot of times we get caught up doing things that we shouldn't be doing, and, you know, we become less responsible for things that we're supposed to definitely feel a bigger responsibility to. And I do give mothers, you know, their just due, their just cause. You know, a mother is definitely going to be there with the child 24/7, you know, because in most situations when parents split, or if parents split, you know, the child ends up with the mother 9 times out of 10. So, you know, the mother does have a bigger responsibility, but that doesn't leave us exempt, brothers, because, you know, I always have told myself, because there were times when I wasn't able financially, you know, and there are going to be times when financially, you know, you just can't do, you know, and you know, the thing about that too is, you know, like our parents were with us, you know, they gave us the things that we needed. They never, you know, broke their back and bent over backwards to try to give us all the things that we wanted, you know. And back when I was growing up, it was definitely, you know, by need, not by want instance. And, you know, that's another thing that we have, you know, we do as parents now. We give kids all these gadgets and we don't put any stipulations on them. You know, we reward them for, you know, doing basically what they're supposed to do as a child. But also, as men, I just feel like we're failing our communities. When I say this, I mean that literally. And also when I say that, of course, you know, I'm not speaking on every brother that I know, because I know some brothers are out here doing some, you know, great things for the communities, as well as, you know, for the generations to come. You know, there are some brothers out here who are definitely involved in the fight against this oppressive system, and in ways that some aren't. And, you know, that just allows, you know, it allows cracks to form in the foundation. And with our black men in, you know, the leadership position, the position of the head of house, the position of leaders in the community, those are the types of things that we as black men and black fathers need to get wholeheartedly involved in. You know, community oriented events, events that are geared towards, you know, providing a means for the generations to come. And that is something that we are responsible for doing, you know, as black men, as fathers, as, you know, the leaders of our communities. And if we're not providing that, it's not being provided. And we're seeing the consequences daily of what can happen and what will happen if, you know, we don't start getting involved as black men and as black fathers. So, you know, it's a necessity and a need for us out here. You know, we always get a bad rap as black men, you know, as being deadbeat dads and, you know, not providing for our children and, you know, just every bad stigma that can be placed on a man as such. You know, is what we're labeled. And we're much, much more than that, you know. And like I say, you know, there are a lot of myths that are, you know, out there. But then, too, there have been a lot of circumstances and legislation and laws passed, you know, that were designed to keep the black man from, you know, being involved in the black family. And to me, that just negates back to slavery days, you know, when they had total control and they didn't, you know, have to ask permission, when they could separate a man from his wife and a man from his children, a mother from her children, you know, and those are things that our ancestors, you know, suffered. And, you know, unfortunately today some of us do it willingly, you know, by not being involved in the lives of your children. And I just want to say, you know, to any man that's, you know, not taking the time with his children, not, you know, supporting his children, I mean, you're missing out. You know, you're missing out on one of the greatest joys in life, you know. And as a father, you know, I mean, a lot of the times in our situation, hookups have created a new life, you know, and unfortunately those things happen. May not be any love involved, may be a Saturday night, you like me, and, you know, a hookup occurs, and then 9 months later we have a child. And, you know, that's when, you know, you have to put all of your, you know, nonsense to the side when there's a child involved. And like I say, black men, we are nothing close to what this system has said that we are. And like I say, there are a lot of laws and systems set up to, you know, keep us separated and to keep us feeling a certain kind of way, so that we, you know, will have that dissension in our families. And like I say, there were a lot of things that were put into place, like HUD, for instance, you know, where wants to step in and be the daddies for our children and provide our women with homes, you know. And this started back, I mean, in the 60s, I believe, where, you know, they would, you know, like I say, provide housing, cheap, affordable housing for our women and children. But one stipulation was there could be no men living in the home, you know. So therefore, a government-made system that was put in place to keep the black man from being the father, even if he wanted to be involved in the life of his children or not, you know, he had no say, you know. And then if he was living within that household, well, the circumstance, consequence for that would be, you know, she'd lose her housing vouchers and then be on the street and homeless. So, I mean, what do you do in that circumstance? You know, like I say, there have been systems and obstacles put in place for, you know, as long as this system has been in place, basically, to keep the black families separated. Another system being the child support system, you know, which is, I feel, just another way to allow the system to come in and control the woman and not the woman, excuse me, but control the man as far as his financial obligation to the child, you know, where the system steps in. And if you don't pay it, then you face license suspensions. And in my case, per se, I have a CDL, so they take my license. Then that's, you know, my way of life, my way of providing for my family. They'll put you in jail if you don't pay. So, like I say, they have these systems always in place targeting the black father. But all at the same time, they choose to point the finger at the black father. So, you know, like I say, it's a kind of a lose-lose situation. But, you know, as black men, we are, you know, involved in our children's lives. I mean, honestly, I can say that all the friends that I know and that I hang around with are actively, you know, involved in their children's lives. Part-time, but full-time, you know. And like I say, even in instances where financially you may not be able to, well, time is free. And if you have time, then you have something that you can give, you know, child. So, like I say, it's just, it's a choice that we have, and, you know, it is definitely, you know, something that is being done by black men nowadays. We just get a bad rap. I was looking over some stats, you know, and I mean, all percentages are high, you know. I mean, as far as being involved with the child, as far as I'll just give you a few of the stats that I looked at, you know, black fathers who fed or ate meals with their children daily, 78.2%. And this is fathers living with the children and with children under five. And like I say, played with children daily, 82.2%, read to children daily, 34.9%. And then they have also stats for fathers that are not living with children. And those stats also are pretty consistent across the board. Fed or ate meals with children daily, 12.6. Played with children daily, 16.5. Read to children daily, 7.8. That would definitely, I feel like, be a lower one, especially if you don't have the child living with you. It would definitely complicate, you know, reading to a child on a daily basis, you know. And we also lose a lot of our black men and our black fathers in this system to the petty injustice system as well, and that also is just like I say, a waste of knowledge, a waste of a good mind, a good body, a good spirit. And like I say, a lot of times we are targeted in more harsh ways than others. And, you know, we're losing a lot of our fathers, basically, to the slavery system, you know, because that's basically what the prison system is, just new age slavery. And also, you know, we're losing a lot of our younger black men and future fathers to the black on black crime that's going on out here. And that too goes back to, you know, just the father and being involved in the lives of these young black men. You know, the younger generations who are out here, you know, basically doing Klan work, you know, basically doing the work of the Klan, and providing them with a means of extinction where they don't even have to get their hands dirty, you know. And like I say, that just goes back to having a strong male figure, you know, in your life. And I'm sure that, you know, all of us as men now can remember back in the days when we were young men and, you know, there was always a man in the community or in the neighborhood that, you know, you looked up to, you kind of admired in a way because just of the way he carried himself or, you know, because of a position that he may have held, you know, and it gives you kind of somebody to look up to, somebody that you can basically, you know, relate to and kind of pattern yourself after, you know. And we have to, black men, and especially as black men like myself who are growing older and entering the, getting close to entering the senior citizen arena, you know, it's a necessity for us to give back the knowledge and the wisdom that we have gained over the years because, you know, being here for, especially as a black man, if you see 50 years, that's really an accomplishment because we have so many obstacles working against us, and some of them being our own, you know, so you have to keep that in mind as well. But, I mean, it is definitely up to us to change those circumstances. And like I say, they can definitely be changed. We just have to, you know, be the exerters of change and be the ones who enforce the change. And like I say, you know, we have to start talking more with this younger generation of men and give them more of a sense of pride and what true responsibility it is that they have, you know, as young black men in this particular society and in this particular world. So, you know, it is a must that we give back, you know, I mean, as we grow old, we have to learn and we must give back, you know, each one, teach one, always someone that we can, you know, dedicate a conversation to. You know, like I say, sometimes you never know what's on the minds of these young men, and, you know, you never know when you could be the person that could say the right thing to turn that young man's life around, you know. and give him a new outlook on life as far as, you know, ripping and running in these streets, because, I mean, I've done that. I've been there, and I can remember my granddad sitting me down, and he asked me one time, do you want to live your life making friends or enemies? And I'm like, you know, of course I want to make friends. And he was like, what? The way you living, because, I mean, like I say, I used to be a bad actor, you know, done some illegal activity that I'm not happy about, you know, not proud of. That's something that I feel like a lot of our brothers got caught up into due to survival, you know, and having to keep the lights and the water on and food on the table and no jobs. You got to do something, you know, and like I say, a lot of our brothers just got caught up in that game, you know, and that goes back to a show, a previous show my brother Dre did when he was talking about the game. And, you know, it's several aspects to the game, and we have got to be the minds that give the game to our next generations, because they may actually have the solution to the problem that we face. And we have to, you know, never be scared to tell our children, our youth, the truth and the cold-hearted truth about a situation, because, I mean, the world is cold and the world is hard. So, you know, it's certain situations that, you know, we can take control of, and we need to take control of as black men and as black fathers, as leaders in the community. I'm going to take a quick break real quick, and I'll be back in about 2 minutes. All right, I'm seeming to be having some technical difficulties. I hate to cut the show short, but I'm having some difficulties tonight. I'm trying to get them straightened out. Give me just 1 second here. I'm going to go into another break, matter of fact. All right, I think I may have got my difficulties straightened out. I'm sorry for the inconvenience. I'm hoping that I was able to be heard. Having a few issues. I see I got, it looks like Brother Kevin in queue here. I'm gonna try to bring you on, brother. For some reason, I'm not hearing anything for some reason. I'm going to bring you on. Unlock your mic for you. Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, I'm trying to keep it rolling, but
no, you're all right, man. You're all right. Nothing came up when you did the break, but I knew you were still on though.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if I could be heard. For some reason, like I say, I couldn't hear my commercials playing, so I didn't know if they were playing or not. I didn't even see myself in queue. So, yeah, I don't know if I lost my connection or what, but peace, brother.
Peace, brother. I heard when you was, you know, before, the only thing we didn't hear was the break, but everything else,
oh, okay.
No, I heard you fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually it's hell of a day to you know, to put it out there, but it needs to be out there. Why not today, you know?
Right.
That's real. You know, I was listening to it. I wonder if we shouldn't create our own holiday for men and our own holiday for women. I'm not really too happy with the Father's Day and the Mother's Day thing because, you know, just from what you stated, even with the statistics, it locks a whole lot of people out of that celebration. And sometimes it's not due to, you know, a situation that was under their control. And for those that it was under their control, you know, that's, you know, it's a bit of a shame on them. But like you said, people have to do what they have to do sometimes. Life don't always give us great choices, you know, but choices must be made because things got to happen. So, you know, yeah, and unfortunately happens a lot in our 14% of the population, you know, so.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was looking at, you know, when I was looking over the numbers and, you know, and I always, you know, keep in mind that, you know, we're only, like you say, 14% of the population. And I mean, anything that, you know, I'm doing as far as numbers are concerned, I equate that to our percentage of the population. And in a lot of instances, you know, with our 14% of the population, it makes our percentage higher because we're such a small percentage of the, you know, the total population. I mean, just like with the prisons, you know, we're only 14% of the population, but we're majority. You know, I don't know the exact percentage. I had it pulled up a few minutes ago, but I know, you know, we're overwhelming majority of the incarcerated men here, and that's why, you know, there's such a shortage of men, and a lot of those brothers who are locked up, you know, like I say, on petty crimes and small time nonviolent drug cases, but you know they're receiving serial killer time behind those small offenses, you know, and with that you're taking some of our intelligent minds, some of our creators, some of, you know, our brothers who have the ability to lead. You know, you're taking that out of our communities, you know, and I feel like that's crucial to our survival, you know. And it seems like it's something that would just, you know, unfortunately, like we were talking the other day, you know, it's unfortunately that we're not recognizing, you know, what's being done to us. You know, it's not what's happening, it's what's being done to us. You know, and that's the way I look at it. You know, yeah, true enough, it is happening, but we're letting it, you know. And that's why I kind of wanted to just, right, you know, and I wanted to kind of just, you know, say some things in today's show and hopefully have some positive conversation about maybe things that could be done. You know, I'm hoping a few more callers will come on in because, I mean, I just feel like as far as that goes, it takes the man and the woman, you know, to, you know, make the family unit. So it takes both of us as well to maintain it and come up with, you know, the right solutions. And even if we are not, you know, going to remain together, I feel like that shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't interfere with the fact of raising a child together. And that's the thing that we have to, you know, stay strong to and you know, make the big picture about the importance of the child, you know, the next generation. And like I say, we lose a lot of brothers in this system that definitely, you know, I feel have something positive that they could contribute to their communities. But, you know, this society, unfortunately, you know, doesn't see it the same way. And I yield on that.
Well, but there's a lot of things that go with that, though. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to personal choice, you know. There's a lot of brothers out there that you know, they're making some bad choices. I'll say that. They are making some bad choices, but I can understand why some of them get to that choice. You're dealing in a system that has repeatedly been oppressive and repressive, you know, to people who look like you for a long time. Now, you got some who feel like that's the perfect excuse for them to go out and just be stupid and give up, and that's not. It's not that. If anything, it should make you want to fight to fix it. And like you said, the numbers game that they play by locking so many up, yeah, they're locking up some brains, you know. Yeah, I agree with that. We don't know what's in these guys' minds or where they would have went had they been given the same breaks as their white counterparts, you know. Because I've seen a lot of these cases where white boys were, you know, given pass after pass after pass. And I mean, they doing all kind of shit. You know, they running from the police with a gun on them and some drugs and an underage chick in the car, and, you know, they getting probation. A brother got a roach from whoever owned the car before him, and he got to go do time behind this fucking roach. So, yeah, we do have that disparity, and our young people, they know this. They know, a lot of them know that that's there, but they still take the chance. And that's because the elders, us, we failed them by not really doing more as a collective of men to reach out to the youth. And that is where we failed, but that's because we were failed on some things too. And some of us had the knowledge. We had people around us, and we still went out there and did some stupid stuff. You know, so, you know, we do have to take, some of us are going to have to just accept that, you know, the choices that we made got us where we don't want to be. I'm looking more at those who should have never been there in the first fucking place, and now they're affected, you know, terribly. Freedom took, time away from family and children, no working experience other than being in jail, and then you still have to deal with the politics of jail and prison. And that alone is a mind fuck, and it's created to be that way. So, you know, it's like, it's a perfect way to keep a perpetual system of, you know, this Willie Lynch type thinking going. You know, and not only that, it also, by separating and having these children out here, basically have to raise themselves because the mom or the parent that didn't get locked up has to, you know, worry about being the primary breadwinner. So that's cutting into their time sometimes. So I applaud those who somehow find a balance and can make it happen. But I'm not as hard on those who can't, because it's not easy. And each situation has its own merits and its own downside. So, but, you know, overall, I do blame a lot of this on the system, because if there was opportunities out here, 50% of those people is locked up. About well over 750,000 people that's in prison is black. So, you know, that's a lot, considering we're only 14% of the population. Exactly. You know, that's a lot. So, you know, you have to look at the impact that has on the children, the daughters who don't get to have that male role model, and those sons who don't get to see what they need to be trying to work towards as young men. And we're not treating it like a village anymore. You know, we're very individualistic. We don't, You know, I applaud those who do try to reach out to the youth, but, you know, sometimes the ones that can reach them, they don't have the knowledge. What are they really telling them? I heard somebody say one time that the 30-year-olds are now the elders on the street, and I'm like, then we're fucked if that's the case because you still don't know shit yet. Mm-hmm. You know? And just because you can reach the youth doesn't mean that you can teach the youth.
Exactly. And that's what we have. We have a lot of youth reaching, but we don't have enough youth teaching. You know, that's a real good point. Cause I mean, like you say, a lot of us have the minds per se to reach the youth, but do you have the knowledge to teach them? You know, and that's the whole, you know, thing about, you know, just being a man and then being a leader as well. You know, you have to have something that you can give them besides your time or your money, you know, and anything learned is more precious than any gold, silver, or money, anything that you can, you know, ever possess. Because like I tell my kids constantly, learn all that you can learn, because once you learn it, that's something that can never be taken, no matter, you know. So, you know, it's definitely needed that we, you know, encourage education, you know, because we have the highest dropout rate, you know, ever right now in our younger generation of men. You know, from what I was reading the other day, it's like most of our black men are dropping out of school now in the eighth and ninth grade. So I'm in some even before that, you know, but I mean, I'm thinking to myself, eighth, ninth grade education out here in this world, you know, and you don't even have really the knowledge of youth on your side, you know, because, you know, they're turning away from it. And like I say, to me, it's just like a sense of hopelessness, you know, where they don't feel the need to learn or pick up a book and read, because they see, you know, in this world, if you don't mind buck dancing and cooning, you know, you can make a decent living, you know, if you don't mind selling your soul. And see, that's what we got to get back into, you know, being involved with the younger generations, because, you know, it's not about saving a life. To me, it's about your soul, you know, how you going to lay after you leave here, you know. And then I always say we living in hell right here on earth, so anything has got to be better than this.
I agree, but, you know, we also got to look at what makes young men drop out of school. I know for me, I dropped out in 10th grade. I couldn't take it anymore, but that was partially because the more I read about our people and what we actually had went through, the more I knew that the only thing I'm going to this school for is that document. Now, that document, they put a whole lot of weight on a high school diploma, but they're not teaching you real shit. They're teaching you a lot of fluff and bullshit. So I know there's some young men who got disillusioned and knew that, you know, that what they were getting didn't feel right. Now, mix that with getting out there and, you know, you're in your formative years and you're meeting, you know, some of your peers are got a little hustle spirit in them. They see that they damn near on a good day can make more than their teacher made. So they have another incentive to say to hell with this route, you know. The only problem is that where we come in, because if we're not able to get it across to them that the path they're choosing, it puts them in a situation, you know. Now, if you're going to drop out of school, okay, then what skill do you have that you can eat off of? Because if you're telling me you're selling drugs, that's not going to work. That's a short life. Even the lucky ones who do get to do it for some time, all it does is you become as addicted to the money as your patrons addicted to your drugs. So, you know, and before you know it, the way that they're going to fuck you is they're going to lock your ass up. They're going to take all that money. You back to broke, and now you're locked the fuck up. So that's just where it is. That's the road there. Be it 2 months, be it 2 years, be it 20 years of getting away with it, eventually you're going to get caught up. And there is no retirement plan with that shit. Now, with that young man who decides that he's not going to deal drugs and he just doesn't want to be at that school, my advice to you would be don't stop educating yourself and learn a skill. Don't care what it is, but in all of your trying to be smarter than you think you are, learn a skill. You're going to need it out here. You know, no matter what, you got to eat and you got to feed your kids if you're going to have kids. So you, what you going to do? You know, and the sad thing about poverty creates crime, definitely. It leaves the room for it, and this country has left that door open, especially in our communities. You can't stand in Beverly Hills and sell shit on that corner. You can't do it. But you can stand in any of our hoods and sell anything, and most of the time, they're going to let you get away with it for a while, not looking at how many people you're affecting and damaging before they stop you. And they're not doing that to save them. They're doing it because they have a quota to fill as far as how many people are going to be locked up. So the young men are the easiest target. They're the easiest target. And they don't even realize that the hunt is on and they're the prey. With that, I yield.
Yeah, and you asked a good question, you know, what is it that we can do? You know, and I can remember back when I was in high school, and it was a program called Up with BAM. It was on Saturday mornings, you know, and they used to pay you to go. Yeah, they used to pay you to, you know, go to it. But, you know, you were actually learning some college, you know, prep stuff, you know, and those are the types of program that this system cut out that were, you know, basically showing our youth a different, you know, the difference, the conversion that was going to happen from high school to college life. And I thought, you know, it was a good program, you know, but those are the kind of things that you know, and like I say, it boils back to what it is that we, the community, are willing to do. And the thing about it is, you know, yes, it is the black man's job to lead, to organize, to provide, yes. But it takes everyone in that community, you know, to be on the same page. And honestly, it's time for us to wake up, and I say take back our communities, take back our streets, make our communities safe again, you know, where you can walk down the street without having to worry about getting shot, where your kids can play outside in the front yard, you know. It's so many things, like I say, that are missing, and that we have somewhat, like I say, taken from ourselves. You know, a lot of us whine and cry about what the white man has taken, but what have you taken from yourself as well? Because sometimes, you know, well, not sometimes, but at all times, you know, your actions are going to simulate the outcome. And you that's why I always say it's time for us to stop reacting and to have a plan of action. So, like, per se, when we know some youth that have dropped out of school. We may have a better way to teach and educate that child that will keep him, you know, drawn in to wanting to learn more. And I think, too, you know, a lot of that has to do with nothing being taught about self, you know. And then what you learn about self is so demeaning, well, you feel as if, hell, I might as well go stand on the corner and sell drugs. That's all we are anyway, you know. So it's a mindset that's being taught to our younger generation, you know, as well. And like I say, a lot of that, you know, like, and I agree with you, like you say, falls in our laps, you know, because we're not giving enough back. And it's apparent that we're not giving enough back because we're losing too many young people, you know. And like I say, you know, to me, in those cases, you know, I mean, just the presence and strength of a man can sometimes be what makes the difference, you know, because, you know, young boys don't think it's cool to wear a suit and work in an office or, you know, do those types of jobs. They don't, you know, they don't ever see themselves in that light, you know. And you have to see yourself as something in order to be something, you know. And a lot of times I think that's what's happening with our young generation. You know, they're being taught they're nothing, and, you know, in that same light, they don't feel as if they are, and they're living as such, you know. And with that, I yield on that. And I guess I will throw a break in right here, and we'll come back in about, let's say, 3 minutes, and we'll continue the conversation.
No love to be found, having a hard time. I'm sick and tired of having so many hard, hard times, baby. And from my
All right, welcome back to the Black Think Tank Radio Network. This is the, in association with the Panther Party, the People's Party. This is On the Move with Brother Melvin Seary. And I'm just really basically on today's show having an open discussion about, you know, manhood, what it is to be a man, fatherhood, and you know, the role that fathers play, the importance of fathers in our children's lives, as well as, you know, the need for strong black men in the community. And you know, during that break, I was just thinking, you know, we've got so much going on right now in this world, you know, is truly a need for the strength of black men, you know, and we as black men possess a strength that is like no other, you know, that is beyond, you know, human imagination, you know, and I said and I think to myself, you know, how resilient our ancestors were as a people, and how resilient we still are today. I mean, even in the face of all the adversity that we face, you know, and when I say that, I'm talking about these race warriors who are out here, you know, killing us daily. And that's why I say it is, you know, it's necessary for a strong resurgence of black male power and black male strength. And the revolution will not only be won physically, we need the mental capability as well, you know, that got caller number 6003. Welcome to the program. And you, if you've been listening, you're more than welcome to join in the conversation. Like I say, tonight we're talking about black men, and like I say, the need for, you know, real black male leadership. You know, just what is it, you know, that needs to be done so that we can, you know, properly build and rebuild and instill the pride and, like I always say, the hope to the generations behind us. And I myself have even said tonight, you know, it starts with us. I feel the men, you know, we're the power, we're the leader. We've been ordained to do a job, and we have to complete this task in order for things to get better. You know, nothing's going to get better by wishing it that way. So caller number 6003, you can join in. You got the floor.
Happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Sister Stephanie, how are you?
Okay. I just called in to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. I hope that they're enjoying their day. I also wanted to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are locked up behind bars and not with their children today, that they are being thought of. And I want to remember all the fathers who have passed on, that too are being thought of today. Other than that, I can't help y'all with this conversation because, you know, I'm not a man, so that's all I can offer y'all today. Sorry. I'm guilty.
Okay. Come on, sister. But you know, I mean, it takes you know, a woman's intuition as well. You know, like I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, as parents, you know, we make children together, and unfortunately, some don't, you know, last long relationship-wise, you know, but we still got to be able to come together as a man and as a woman, you know, regardless of our differences, in order to raise that child. And I use that example just to you know, further my point, as, you know, it's the same as within the community. But my point really for tonight is just basically to not chastise the men, but, you know, let them know that it's time that we step up, you know, and it's time that we do what it is that we were, you know, called to do, and do what it is that we are best at, you know. And I mean, there's so many things that we're told we're not, you know, and like we were saying a minute ago, like with our younger generation, you know, they learn what they're not first before they are able to learn what they actually are and who they actually are. And, you know, it's circumstances like that where I feel like, you know, it's a need for the black male to step up and play a stronger role than what's being played right now, you know, because, like I say, we're losing lives out here. And not only that, we're losing, you know, our future generations because they're not being taught anything. That we were talking about, you know, the dropout rate and how it's so high among young black men, you know. And like I say, I just feel like, you know, as black men, we should step up and now, you know, we don't have any more time to waste. And like I say, that's going to be not only the black man is supposed to provide the means for everything to happen. And I do feel that way. But the community has to be behind that as well, that being the elderly and the women as well. You know, we all have to basically be on the same accord, you know, in order for anything to get accomplished. And like I say, I mean, I just feel like there are so many circumstances that are working against us as a people, and, you know, that affect us as a people. And, you know, it's like I say, it's just time that we stop thinking about you know, what it is that we can do and actually start doing it. Because I know in my mind of minds that it's so much more that we can accomplish as a unit. You know, and like I say, black males linking up is power. Black women linking up is power. Black men and black women linking up is an atomic bomb. And I'll yield on that.
I agree, but, you know, we also have to look at the situation for what it is and why, you know, this is one of the reasons why I have issues with certain forms of media that our children are subjected to. You know, the messages that they get, we live in an anti-social society now. Kids have a device where they can read any book ever written. But how many books do they actually use that device to actually read? They can find out and verify a lot of the stuff that we say to them, but how many actually are going to do that? You know, and so we also have to look at the fact that, yeah, we might have, even if we had a million more black men willing to get out there and teach And I hate that word mentor, because that mentor is a Greek word, and the actual things that those mentors were doing ain't got nothing to do with what we want to do.
right, but, okay.
You know, we need black men who are willing to step up to the plate, and if we had 100,000,000 more, we still have to look at the audience, and the audience is the youth. And those youngsters, a lot of them, they've set themselves up to that the brick wall, or, you know, that safety net being pulled is what they need, in a way, unfortunately. Because I know a lot of young people out there who had grateful around them, and it didn't stop them. Actually, it enabled them more so to go out and be very risky with their behavior. You know, loose with their tongue, all of the things, you know, to make a child insolent. And, you know, we have to be able to fracture some of that in order to really reach the at-risk youth, because those are the ones that are more than likely going to make up the future prison population, or be on a coroner's table getting cut up, you know. And, you know, I do feel that it does take, it takes both. It takes women, because, look, a woman's job is to motivate her man, to be his motivation, you know, and that's what makes him want to get up, go out there and take on the world and come home with it. And, you know, bam, there it is, you know that the lights is on and everything's good, so that his seeds and his woman, you know, they feel that security. And that part has failed. There's a lot of single parents out there, you know, a lot of hookups. This wasn't no marriage shit. It was just hookups, and babies resulted from it. And they wind up getting caught in the cracks, too. You know, there's a lot of split families out there. So, you know, it's really hard to reach a person who's reached the age of maybe 12 or 13. You can't approach them the same way you can when they 6 or 7. You know, they're 13, 14, they know so much more now, and especially in this day and age with all of the technology, digital age now. So we're almost, you know, it's almost like a totally different creature that we're dealing with. They look at a lot of us older cats as being too old school. You know, we don't listen to the music they listen to. We don't do any of the things that they do. So there's so many things that have us disconnected. And I think that the first step we're going to have to do is we're going to have to make some connections with some of these youngsters, especially those that we know is, you know, prone to probably get out there and be a little bit silly to their own demise. You know, it's a rough one. It's a hard one. It's not going to be easy. It really isn't going to be easy. It's not impossible, but, you know, that one, it's a hard one. I just think that it takes a lot of things there, and it's going to definitely take a commitment, but that's what happens when you drop the ball, you know. And we dropped it. It got dropped on us some, too, but we dropped it, you know. And a lot of us aren't really learning how bad it is until later on, and by then, you know, it's hard to get their attention, you know, and that's going to be the real thing. I'm almost thinking we might have to come up with some mumble rap just to get their attention. You know, maybe if we mumble that don't you want your freedom and revolution is in your DNA, skirt, 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 whatever, maybe they'll get it. Who knows? I don't know. We got to do something, though. That I yield.
I can agree definitely. All right, well, I guess I'll throw another break in. When I come back from this break, you know, when I opened up, I was talking about, you know, just some of the systems that they, you know, this system has always made laws to break our backs anyway. But I was just talking about some of the ways that the system, and I use the HUD system, the housing system, and I also use child support as another one of those examples that, you know, have worked in a divisive way to, you know, crush the black family, you know. But I want to touch on that when we get back about, you know, just the role that the system played to, you know, break up the black family. And we'll be back with On the Move on the Black Think Tank Radio Network.
They'll tell you that you can't make, that you began life's test with an S pasted to the top of your exam in bright red ink. They'll show you links through studies and statistics, lifetime sentences, force-feeding you with both facts and fiction, aimed at predicting the outcome to your destiny as if they can see into your future and as if God created you to fail.
Man up! They are shooting at us.
Calling all my brothers, can I get a quick huddle? Time out for a second, need to address some trouble. See so many of us on the stumble. No goals, no direction, so affected by the slow, subtle devaluation of our roles. Nobody to teach us, took the papas out the home. Left to learn alone what it means to be a man. So it's easy for the media to carry out their bigger plan. Government assistance, school staff. Only if she poo, she single or she lose dad. And the job stat shows she gets the job fast. So he gets supported while she carry all the heavy bags. His rail backwards, so our self-esteem sags. And she never will respect the man who confidence lacks. And I don't mean that he good only for talking smack. But daddy handle business and his word is what he
had. Ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us, but how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back. Man up.
Why you switching, dude? Loosen up them skinny jeans. Call me bigger brother, trust me, I ain't trying to lean. It's just the troubling trend I'm seeing. Every day it's more okay to emulate femininity. And now it's in the DNA or genes. No, this is learned behavior made okay by those who need to see. A family structure be, if man was made to lead. The more we stray from our nature, we will not succeed. Sons and daughters now lack balance. Compensate with male attention, how she now manage. But see, he was never told how to make her feel special, so he treat her like a hoe. And since she was never shown how a real man should protect her heart to keep her legs closed. See, what she had hoped was being open lands a man's heart, but a broken boy is not equipped to play a man's part.
Man, father, son, it's time to stand up. See, we've been ducking down too long. I know that they are shooting at us. But how long before we go on the offensive instead of reacting? It's time we bring manhood back. We gotta bring manhood back. Man up.
The best kept secret is, no matter what your situation, you are more than a conqueror, and this is only a test. See, you can be anything that your heart desires, moving forward toward the unwritten chapters of your lives. You can make liars with their pants on fire eat their words, curve past the obstacles in your path, and crash directly into success. Head on collisions into happiness. Learning from the mistakes of fathers who are far from the best example, you could trample their crowd of negativity. See, they want your passion to go up in smoke like a chimney, but your will to succeed can still burn relevant. Cooler than peppermint, your anger can cease. Avoiding the bellies of the beast, you can reach for the stars as far as your eyes can see. You don't need to be anybody's statistic, so don't miss your chance. You can dance to your own tune. Cats get it twisted like pretzels, thinking they have to accept those passed down generational patterns. The scattered cowards that shower their family tree. You don't have to be that automatically. So don't tell me that you had no role models in your life. Then you had no choice. You always have a voice in the matter. You could be anything under the sun. Even the worst father could stand as an example of what not to become.
Man up.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Would anybody like to take a stab at the role that the system played? Because it's just basically my opinion with the housing, and I stated it, you know, earlier. It was really something that, you know, allowed the system to play daddy to, you know, our women and our children, you know, by providing them low-income housing, which I don't feel anything is wrong with. But what I did, and the only drawback, like, I find against that is the one stipulation that, you know, excludes the black man from being in the home with the woman and the children. So, I mean, let's say that a family hits hard times. Well, Uncle Sam, he'll provide a place for the woman and the children to stay, but the father, you know, is going to have to fend for himself, thus, you know, removing the father from the home. And, you know, earlier, you know, I spoke on it because I said, you know, this goes back to the slavery days and just how they did things. You know, they had no problem separating mother from child, husband from wife, you know, splitting us up, just throwing us all over the place, you know, and that's something that they continue to practice even to this day. So I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that. Anyone?
Well, you know, I totally understand how this system has messed with us. Definitely still continues to do so. The HUD program, definitely. I will say this. While, and I agree with you that, yeah, I'm glad that there is low income housing for those who are in need of it. However, the formula they used was detrimental to our people, to really any poor people, but definitely to our people. It happened at a time when they were supposed to be trying to turn the tide of this inequality, and instead I think it added to it. You know, and I don't like even saying that the system became daddy. I think the system did exactly what it wanted to do, and that was remove the father from the equation. And it wasn't so much for the system to take that role. It does look that way, but I don't think that's what it was for. I think that it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It fractured the family structure enough that it built on a distrust that women and men already had with each other due to the inherent slavery and Jim Crow and terrible system set up that we were never designed to be fully a functional part of anyway. So, yeah, all of those systems. I mean, think about it. You tell a young man to join your military to go fight for freedom. I mean, the fight in World War II was against racism, while there was racism rampant here in America. So imagine how the mind fucked there. You tell a young man to go fight for his country. There were soldiers who came back in World War I and got hung in their uniforms. Hung right. In their uniforms. It's the same country that wants you to stand and pledge allegiance to it, but fighting for it isn't enough to keep it from killing you. You know, so, yeah, those systems, the prison pipeline starts in kindergarten and keeps on going. You know, yeah, this is why I think it's important that we do try to reach the youth. And if the only message if I can give the youth one message, it would be really take a minute to examine who you are and what you really want to do with your life. And then try to see if you can make a business out of that. So that this way you don't have to work for someone under this system, because even though the system is what it is, you still have an opportunity. You come up with a good idea or you know, polish your skills so that this way you can actually work for yourself. That self-empowerment right there is going to help clear up a whole lot of things for you, even if you don't allow others to reach you or if there's not enough men or women around you to be in that supportive advisory role, you know. But that would be the message I would give them, because the system is going to teach you how to work for the system, and that just creates more disillusionment. This system is not designed for us, and it never was. And with that, I yield.
Right. I agree. And also, I mean, you know, I say daddy in a loose term.
No,
but,
I question,
you know,
I understood what you were saying, bro. Just, you know, because the system, I always felt the system went out of its way to take the male, the black male, out of the family structure. And that happened from the time that was part of the breaking system during slavery. That was a, you know, imagine how your family gonna look at you after watching you get your ass whooped out there within an inch of your life.
Right.
You know, or how the look on the dad's face as his oldest boys and maybe daughter are being sold off or traded for something or used in any number of ways and he can't do anything about it. This was, you know, a big part of the mental issues that I still feel we have residue from to this day, you know?
Right.
I think we still need to congratulate the village, though, because when many fathers weren't there, it was uncles and grandfathers and brothers that were there that filled in that, you know, were there and, you know, raising up our youth. And we have to congratulate the many young fathers of today that are doing their thing, that they are in their children's lives because they didn't have a father in their life. So we got to remember them, too, that they are bucking the system, so to speak, because they're doing what wasn't done prior in their lives.
I don't know if it's a lot. I'd like to think there's some. I don't think it's a lot, not from what I'm seeing. I see a lot of misguided youth out there, and some of them, like I said, they have male role models around them. It's just, I mean, you know, I can feel what you're saying, but in that same village, you have the career criminal uncle who is teaching his nephews, you know, crime as a way of hustling. Is he a bad guy for giving them a way to feed their family if they can't find a job?
No,
I don't think so. I mean, because, you know, that go back to what we were saying earlier, you know. I mean, it's, you know, and I had made the point, too, in my opening, because, you know, like I say, you know, sometimes we have been criminalized just for, you know, our need to eat, our need to have water, food, lights, you know, and, you know, we getting serial killer time for it, you know, and all we're doing is what is basically, you know, it's a basic instinct, which is survival. You know, because anytime my stomach starts hitting my back, well, I know it's time to eat. And I can, you know, I can go to my refrigerator, and some people don't have that luxury. So, you know, some people, and I don't knock anybody for they hustle. You know, I don't knock anybody for what they have to do, you know, to survive and put food on the table and you know, feed their families. You know, unfortunately, some of us have to, you know, and like I say, I've lived a lifestyle in the past, so I don't want to come across as no hypocrite, you know, because, like I say, when my stomach starts to hit my back, I know it's time to eat. So when it's time to go eat, it's time to go eat. You know, it's just a part of our lifestyle, you know, and not just, I won't even say a part of our lifestyle, because everybody, you know, in any ethnicity has had some sort of hustle, some sort of grimy hustle. So, you know, I just feel like, yeah, that's, you know, a survival instinct, you know, and I feel like it, you know, like I say, when you're hungry, you're going to eat by any means. And with that, I yield. And
it's you got to do what you got to do in life sometimes.
Exactly.
So people might not like what you're doing, but they ain't putting no money on your back and they ain't paying your bills. So, you know, but they ain't going to help you when it's time to pay the price. But you got, if people got to do what they got to do, and you can't fault them for doing what they got to do, they're doing
exactly
the best they can.
Right, right. And I got about 20 minutes left. I guess I will take another short break here, and I'll be right back after this quick 2-minute, 3-minute break.
It said that every revolutionary act is an act of love, and this is an act of love. All power to the people. I said the P is for power, the A for action, the N, T, because now is the time to get it done. See, the H is for heart and the E for effect. The R hold it down at the end for respect. Who am I, a panther? Who am I, a panther? What I got soul. What I got love. What I got pride. What I wanna be free. Reach your hands in the air if you feel like me. Who am I, a panther? Who am I, a panther? What I got soul. What I got love. What I got pride. What I wanna be free. Reach your hands in the air if you feel like me.
Can you see the pride of the panther as he glows in splendor and grace, toppling obstacles placed in the way of the progression of his race? Can you see the pride in the panther as she nurtures her young all alone? The seed must grow regardless of the fact that it's planted in stone. Can't you see the pride of the panthers as it unified as one? The flower blooms with brilliance and outshines the rays of the sun. Outshines like the sun, shines out like the sun, shines bright like the sun, brings light like the sun.
P is for power, the A for action, the N, T, because now is the time to get it done. See, the H is for heart and the E for effect. The R hold it down at the end for respect. Who am I, a panther? Who am I, a panther? What I got soul. What I got love. What I got pride. What I wanna be free. Reach your hands in the air if you feel like me. Who am I, a panther? Who am I, a panther? What I got soul. What I got love. What I got pride. What I wanna be free. Reach your hands in the air if you feel like me.
This song is dedicated to all those who live and die for the struggle. Panthers, children of the Panthers, and all those who strive for free minds, free souls, free bodies, and freedom, and love. Love. Love is the entrance to the revolution.
All right, welcome back to the Black Think Tank Radio Network in association with the Panther Party. And I got about 16 minutes left in the program. I want to take this time to plug our other shows that are on during the week. On Thursdays, we had a Revolutionary Journal with Brother Ozzy. Real informative show. It is, like I say, Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, be 5 p.m. Pacific. And Sister Stephanie's still on the line. Also, Brother Kevin, he left the line on Fridays. He does his show, the Panther Power Chat. It's also at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5. Sister Stephanie's on the line. She does a show on Saturdays. If you want to plug it, you can plug it.
Shadow Talk, Saturdays, 8 p.m., 5 Central, East Pacific. I just want to say happy Juneteenth to everybody. I don't think we have a show prior to Juneteenth. So I just want to wish everybody
Juneteenth. Right, right. Definitely, definitely. And then on Sundays, my show, On the Move, with myself, and it's at 8 p.m. Eastern as well, 5 p.m. Pacific. Juneteenth, Emancipation Proclamation. The so-called freedom of slavery. But, happy Juneteenth. And pop some firecrackers and stuff, you know, celebrate Juneteenth. Y'all celebrate St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo and all the rest of them. So definitely get out and celebrate Juneteenth as well. I guess I'll just make a couple of closing statements, and Steph, if you want to make any closing statements, I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, and I hope all the fathers had a great day. Take time to remember the Charleston Nine, because today also is the anniversary of their death, and happy Juneteenth.
All right. Thank you, sister. And I'll also, join in and again say happy Juneteenth to everybody. Hope you enjoy your holiday. And to my brothers, you know, let's get out there and pull our families back together. Let's get out here and pull our communities back together, you know. Let's bring back some of the old school for real. Let's bring back some of the villages for real. You know, let's start to provide the sense of security that's, you know, needed within our communities. And like I say, we're the lead, we're the muscle, we're supposed to be the providers, you know. So let's do that, you know, brothers, because it's long overdue, and you know, we're losing our people out here to this system daily, you know, and there's no justice being served. And like I say, sometimes the things that you want, you have to take. And we're being shown by this system that, you know, if we want our freedom, that, you know, we're going to have to reach down deep within ourselves and take it. And with that being said, I guess I'm going to close this show out. I want to thank everybody who called in, had input on the show. And like I say, just tune in to this same station. Thursday through Sundays, we have shows. Right now, I was told that We're going to be adding one more show definitely in July and possibly another show in July. So that would give us actually Wednesday through Mondays. So all those shows, like I say, same station, same call-in number, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And I hope everybody has a great night. Peace and power. And I'm out.
Hold it now.